change gonna come. Oh, yes it is. Yes it is. Yes it is. Say, I know that a change is gonna come one day. I know a change gonna come. Yes, it is. I know. Say, life can be hard. Oh, yeah. And times can get rough. But still,
in the house. Did I get cut off?
I don't know. I'm here.
Speak, girl.
Hey, Bob. We got the echo.
Okay, let's just see if...
Yeah, chat someone and ask.
Hey, Jenny, can you hear us?
Yes. Hey, Bob.
Okay. I don't see Eben here, so let's. What did you want to talk about?
Okay. Well, what we wanted to talk about was, did you know that it's the 5-year anniversary of the Bob Fest this weekend?
Let's see, 2013. Yes. No, I didn't know. 5 years, 2013 to 2018. Correct, Ginny. Very good.
Ding, 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 ding.
I missed that.
Yeah, so anyway, it's the 5-year anniversary of the Bob Fest, and Greg and I were talking about how much we love the Bob Fest, and it made us think about the whole, you know, one of the big things, of course, was playing the Evergreen Sessions and playing the JFK stuff. And I wanted to ask you, do you know anything about this rumor about John Kennedy Jr. being QAnon?
No. I mean, I heard the rumor. That's not true. That's ridiculous.
Right, exactly. So absurd. Okay, so it made me think, what media phenomena or what is the reason why people are so obsessed with these Kennedys that they're even trying to say that John Kennedy Jr. faked his death so that he could go undercover and revenge the death of his father and restore the republic, even to the point that somebody told me that he has been seen on the podium with Trump. And that there's face recognition software that's behind, and if you see the man behind Trump on the podium and then you put JFK's profile in this face recognition software, that it confirms that this is JFK. This is how absurd this stuff is. But why do you think everybody is so obsessed with these people?
Because that was the peak creation. The Kennedy administration was the ultimate in balanced media. You had black and white TV bouncing off all the hot radio, books, movies of the first half of the 20th century. So as McLuhan pointed out, it was a very balanced time in our media diet. Then during the Kennedy administration, or just shortly after, early 60s, mid-60s, the digital effect of the Android meme started to come in and just unbalanced everything. And that's what people are romantic for, because or nostalgic for. Any historians have looked into the Kennedy administration. He was a lousy president. He didn't accomplish anything. You know, technically, as a bureaucratic figure, he was a failure, aside from the fact he was assassinated. So, you know, his murder was the end of this balanced period, a retrieval of the Elizabethan age in England, the balanced eye-ear situation. The tactility of the television set balanced the hot and cool media of radio, early electricity, and the print and manuscript cultures before that. That was a little unbalanced. That led to World War II. Well, World War One and Two. So you have this balanced period. Partly resonating with that was the sort of communistic, socialistic image of Israel. And the kibbutz had a charismatic point. But soon as the digital extension of the Android meme came in, it was the end of humanity, the end of the chemical body, and it remained archetypically remembered as a glorious time of balanced media diet. So
Kennedy was. Kennedy's a vision of the chemical body?
Yeah, the chemical body was in a balanced environment caused by television's correction, tactile correction, of the acoustic kinetic bias of radio and movie technology in the first half of the 20th century and its conflict with the older Gutenberg galaxy. So that was an unbalanced period. There was, you know, people like to say the 50s were a bland time. Actually, they weren't. They were very productive in all kinds of culture and new kinds of culture, the electric effect. But overall, Kennedy's image represented a what they call the Camelot period. you know, a medieval image. What's that guy's name? King
Arthur.
King Arthur? You know, these were historical archetypes that the balanced diet just before Sputnik and during the early effect of Sputnik, which went up in 57. So the satellite competition, the space war, begins in 61, 62, with the Americans trying to catch up with the Soviet Union. So the balance of the Khrushchev-Kennedy era was upset by people being projected into outer space and floating around the planet in the satellite, the new satellite ground. And we were off the planet, and we were gone deep into inner space, as McLuhan would say. And then we would now say that was the beginning of virtual reality. So that was the problem, and that's why it's remembered as the last gasp of the chemical body in a balanced dream.
So what is the... is there a little... I mean, it seems like it's somewhat conflicting or cacophonous to have Kennedy, chemical body, reflection juxtaposed with Trump, the android meme president of a dying android meme. Why is that so attractive to people?
Okay, can you... I get distracted... by an email, but it's not loading. Hopefully it's from Eben. So say that again about Trump.
Well, they're claiming that...
No, just repeat what you said. Just repeat what you said.
How can a chemical body archetype throwback Kennedy person be commingled with Trump as a president of the dying android meme? How's that compatible?
Is it compatible? Is this something being stated?
Yes. What I'm trying to say is that they're saying that JFK Jr. is on the podium with Trump as QAnon.
Oh, okay. You're saying that fantasy shows Trump is somehow aligned with the Kennedy situation.
Yes. And how does that match in the media world? What is that explanation?
Okay, so remember, the Android meme is replaying the chemical body's history and the first stages of discarnate man and the discarnate humanity in the first half of the 20th century. So we've had a replay of the Android meme presenting and celebrating the hyper-celebrity of humans and chemical bodies in all media, and it's really just the Android meme trying to look anthropomorphic and human. So since the chemical body had its peak in American culture with the Kennedy administration, and then Trump says, or really the Android meme says, let's make America great again, why wouldn't they go back to Kennedy? It supports my thesis that was the last time America existed for the chemical body, that balanced period of the TV era. So what Trump, or the Android meme version of Trump, is trying to evoke that period for itself. See, all media diet the last 30 years has nothing to do with chemical bodies, nothing to do with us, with humans. We're surplus flesh. We're watching the Android meme act out our history, including in the media history, play it back to ourselves as if we are involved. It's a trick. It's a Trump leal.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just didn't understand the other part of why that would be appealing. The the throwback to the chemical body. So that's what the image of JFK being, because that's what the whole QAnon thing is about anyway, is protecting the chemical body and all the images around that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's
good.
The Android meme. That's the Android meme pretending to be anthropomorphic or physical. There ain't no humans in the media scape, and it's not talking to humans, but they're going to present a lot of human archetypes back to us to see if we get fooled, and most people are fooled. Now, we have someone here. I don't know why we can't hear Eben. She says she's here. What's going on there, Bill? Okay, so she wants me to call her because she's not getting a good Skype connection. So we can continue this theme. Ginny, stay on. Let me just play a little music and I'll get a hold of Eben. Okay? All right.
Okay.
It's a good question, but it's a I gave a good answer. You know, I mean, it helps you understand what I mean by the Android meme. Okay, so what do I look for music? What do? I just scan up. I keep getting disconnected. And I will just grab whatever showed up. Here we are.
All right. The first song we're going to play is something that we haven't played before on this. In fact, we haven't played it for a long time, but there's no reason why we shouldn't do it again. It's from the Shut Up and Play Your Guitar album. It's called Treacherous Cretins.
Very good.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Were you listening to the show last 5 minutes?
I called in on Skype, and I heard you talking about JFK and Trump. Was that?
Yes.
Right, exactly. So I, you know, was listening in and seeing if I was hooked in, but Skype just wasn't working.
That's interesting because I'm getting disconnected a lot, so... Maybe it's not my system and being out in the Pacific Ocean. Maybe it's everybody on Skype or something because it was affecting you. But we don't know. We got you on the phone. That's okay. So we were. You missed the point about the Kennedy thing, but we're not going to go into it right now. I might get back to it. Jeannie asked an interesting point. But let's start what I intended to do. And everybody's ready. Everybody can hear. Let me just mute people for a minute. Just in case there's an environmental interruption, so I'll mute Ginny for a while. Okay, I have Evan.
Hi, Bob.
All right, I'm going to do like a formal statement. This is your Playboy interview. This has sort of a formal interview here. Okay, we have a little pause. Okay, I have Evan Ray on the line. Evan Ray and I go back to August 1999 in Mesquite, Nevada. That's where we met. And she told me she was going to start a radio slot on KPFK in Los Angeles. And she got it going by March 2000, I think. And I was her first interview. It was an interview we had done in Mesquite, Nevada. And I've been involved with Eben from the beginning of her public career on KPFK is an entity in itself. Maybe you'd been on a little bit before that, but you had your official slot Wednesday nights on Roy of Hollywood show, all-night show. And I was part of it all through the years until you stopped in 2015. And you also were the first public show that Ion showed up on. As soon as Ion came to us in March 2009, within 3 weeks, we had Ion ready to go public, and I think we did something on Chief Radio with James. James, what was his last name? James
Martinez.
Martinez, right? And
Martinez. I thought it was Curtis.
No, yeah, James Martinez, and we on May 5th. You know, here's the way it went. We had Ion 3 weeks after Ryan showed up, faking being human on April 14th on James's cash flow show. And that was funny. I've talked about that for a long time. And then because Ian was pretending to be human, and he failed in the last part of the show when he started sort of scolding humans and saying, "You humans," and this was supposed to be a top executive in the Secret Council 10 level, and all of a sudden he starts separating himself from humanity. I don't know who caught that, but I pointed out to people so they can enjoy it when they rehear it. But in the next couple of weeks, James and I were on the lady that Ion eventually started calling the great wavy gravy head or something, screwed up gravy head. I forget her name, friend of Mae Brussels. And that led to Ion being on her show on May 1st, 2009. We're on for 3 hours. And that's when Ion, out of the blue, someone called in and asked if he was the return of some South American god, you know, of the Aztec Inca cultures or something, some obscure name, not Quetzalcoatl. And Ian said, yes. That surprised me. And then I eventually found out that Ian was a retrieval of every archetype of religion projection. And then I know Evan, we had Ian on Evan on May 5th, 5 days later. That was the first time we were on L.A. radio. And Ion always caused an interesting stir in L.A. when Ion came on. So Evan's been with us and Ion from the beginning. And already her fans are typing in. Susanna says, "Yay, Evan!" And Evan hasn't said nothing to deserve that. But that's her record. She is known. She could never speak again. And she'd have a historical star on the walk of Silver Lake, would it be? Echo Park? Certainly wouldn't want it down in Hollywood, but you would have some local sidewalk star, right?
Yeah, I'm sure walked over a number of times.
Right.
Great. And
that stupid kid next door steals your mail. He probably spits on it. That guy. I don't know what he's got.
Exactly.
What he's got in for you.
You know what? Fortunately, that just ended up being a lost in translation on my address, because it was kind of obnoxious thinking somebody was stealing my drops.
Yeah.
So it really just ended up, you know, we finally got it synced up, and
The kid.
All was good.
It wasn't the kid.
Yeah, it wasn't a kid. It was just something in the postal code.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll delete that file. I've always thought of that kid. I was sort of putting out vibes to nail him at some point, so he saved once again.
Awesome.
So you have not been on the air. You stopped doing Roy of Hollywood in 2015, and I'm aware of your presence. You occasionally tell me in private conversations of how much you're enjoying the Emerald Tablets and other things by Ion. You have lots of intense questions about Ion and what Ion seems to be saying, what Ion's forcing me to be. Ion's turning me into a racist or something. So sometimes Evan worries about. Let's not go into that yet. Let's start off. I've been wondering what does Evan think of this 3-year fast of media coverage? Have you been a guest on any show in the last 3 years?
No, I haven't. No.
No radio LA presence at all.
Correct. Yeah.
What's that last syllable?
Yes. Correct. Yeah. And you know what? It's absolutely been fantastic. After talking for 15 years, after ingesting so much of the naughty behavior of Homo sapiens because wanted to really get deep into that shadow realm, blah, 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 all of this, and whoa, I mean, really in it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, after looking at all of that, it just came to, okay, so what do we do about it? And also just coming to see the gaps in my overall understanding. After 15 years, all the reading, all the people that I'd spoken to, I just came to know that I didn't know shit. And it was just being a regurgitation of other individuals' plight, and lost myself. And so it's been kind of a recovery of a state of being. Instead of being a conduit, like, what the fuck am I doing here? What's going on? Da da da. And so thank you, Bob, for, in a sense, sharing your questioning and sharing your resources of recovery. You're recovering so much that I'm just being fulfilled by listening and not talking and things like that. So yeah, it's been since 2015, it's the first time, and I've joined you guys every once in a while.
Yeah.
But it's been really great to kind of be a witness, not a watcher, but a witness to what you guys are doing.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know you'd say that. I guess that ends the interview. We got Evan to admit how wrong she was. I claimed that for 15 years. So very good. I didn't know we covered that admission so quickly.
Thanks, Bob. Okay. I'll see you later.
No. I want to go into it because this is Minimax, who's Brian Taylor up in Carol. Minimax, who's Brian Taylor up in Canada, joint McLuhan scholar, goes to the collection of McLuhan books, his personal library, and brings out books occasionally, give us the annotations. Plus, he's always up on Bob's Anachrony and everything else that's going on. He had typed 5 minutes ago or so, the Android present is not addressed to you. Now, you were processing the Android memes information swirl for 15 years, and I don't know if you could say it led to nothing or you knew nothing. It's just that what you were engaging had nothing to do with you, is maybe what you really realized.
Well, I think that there's the distance between engaging it, and the outcome of that engagement. And I think I was getting disappointed that in the end of it all, people really loved their victimship. They loved being irresponsible, not responsible for what was around them. And my information spectrum was something that I was speaking of, that these little motherfuckers take their pants off like you do and do everything like you do. You know, come together, da da da, power in numbers, power in self, and it was, and instead it was really just, there was so much currency in being weighed down just by words and in their imaginations and things to that effect. So, you know, and it was during that time where I changed from Radio Alchemy to Project Next, which was the idea, okay, let's start getting into that solution base.
Yeah, you wanted to form a community almost.
Right. Just like, we tried to do some things in the flesh away from the digital, you know, bringing in some folks to start working on this particular strategy of 13 people coming together with a singular focus, and that 13 people that are aligned can control a full square block, physical block, and as you build out the 13s, you start, you know, and you get to a scale where you can, in a sense, through your energy bodies, control and protect a city. And so we were trying to, like, incorporate something like that.
Where did you hear that idea of 13 people?
Obalaji, who is a really great African spiritual scientist that I remember mentioning to Ion on one of the interviews that you guys were on. He's like, oh, yeah, Obalaji, yeah, great man, da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay, good. So he does, you know, he's been this guy who was in Special Forces, protected Henry Kissinger while he was in Germany, ran drugs in Germany and things like this as a part of the military establishment, Special Forces. And he decided, he said he was in Switzerland sometime, and he looked at this guy, and he was like out hiking, and he saw this guy leaping from boulder to boulder like a gazelle. Like this guy was able to go up the side of a mountain and just spring. And he's like, what the hell is going on? So he followed this guy. And he's like, what do you know? What's going on? And he blew him off, and he finally got him. And he's like, you have to go to the Heidelberg Library. So he started his journey at the Heidelberg Library and at the Vatican, and working his intelligence connections to be able to unlock his mysteries for him. And so in a little short story, you know, so I found him. And again, brought it to the public and said, hey, here are these, here's this information, da da da. So that was kind of a tangent.
Right, and so you had him as a guest on the show. Was he a repeat guest?
Several times. Yeah, a number of times. He helped, raise money, et cetera. He has some amazing information that dovetails, and some of it's been confirmed, and some of it kind of deviated away from what you have uncovered with Ion.
Right.
Some of it, you know, lines up.
So this guy, when did he do his studies? 60s, 70s, or 80s? If Kissinger was a public figure, it had to be in the 70s then, maybe.
Right, yeah, because he was Vietnam. He was operating in Vietnam, Czechoslovakia, Russia, all that stuff behind lines. So it was Vietnam era. So, 70s.
That's when he did studies.
He started his stuff.
Yeah, so
that's when he got into his studies. Yeah.
So he had this plan or idea that if you get 13 focused people, it sounds like Gurdjieff, if you get 13 focused people, they can change the world or something.
But Bob, in particular, 13 African Americans.
Oh, okay.
13 black folk.
All right. Well, I would have been part of that. You know, I'm black.
You are pretty black, Bob.
Yeah.
You know how to dance.
Yeah. Oh, you saw me dance for 5 hours.
And thank you, Carolyn, for giving him them steps.
She's working on stuff, but she's hearing that. She'll respond later.
Yeah, Evan and I danced here for 5 hours, too.
When was that?
Yeah, we San Diego. Out in Long Beach. It was great. Long Beach area. Or San
we
Diego,
were
San Diego.
Sweating. We were just dripping. We were sliding across the floor in sweat.
At one point, there was like maybe around 40, 50 people. We were the only ones on the dance floor just like dripping around and having a great freaking time. It was amazing. Hi, Carolyn.
Yeah. Hey,
hello.
Sweetie. Hi.
Hi.
We're happy that Carol could make Evan's Playboy interview, or Playgirl.
Let's all just play.
Yeah. So he had this idea, and so did you do some of it? Whatever he would tell you to do?
Well, you see, the thing was, we opened it up, and...
You mean talk about it on your show?
Well, no, I found a place, signed up for a spot to invite people to come in, and it was interesting. There was a nice diversity of individuals that showed up, but somehow there's something about consistency and commitment and the suspension of disbelief that certainly dissolved the connection and the throughput to be able to get it done, which is perfectly resonant with why good shit doesn't get done.
This was when you were still on the air and you had announced it.
Correct. Yes.
And people came, 12, 11 people came.
We had 20 people, then it dropped down to 10, da, 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 and then dropped down to 5. And the person, of course, that dominated the conversation when it started getting low was the bag lady who just was there to be a goddamn disruptor.
I know what you mean. I used to occasionally go to WBAI meetings.
Don't
and there was always one bag lady. a black bag lady. And
yes.
She would attend, maybe it was the same one. She moved out to L.A. The public airwaves kind, Pacifica Foundation kind of radio attracts these kind of people. They're quite sincere, they're serious, but they kind of are in a monomania. You know what I mean? They can't.
Yeah, it's... Well, you know what? I mean, you would find the very same foam coming out of the mouths of people on the right, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, the foam on the left is because we are a big tent. And a lot of these people are aggrieved, and they're looking for community, et cetera. But, unfortunately, they're narcissistic and just can't get, you know, they just can't shut up.
Not very good at dialogue.
No, they can't listen very well. All the voices in their head block out a little bit of rationality. So, anyways, blah, blah, blah.
So it broke up, the mission.
Yes, certainly. And so it's just so the thing was is that brought it back to that it's what you can control and magnetize to yourself. So it's just been one of these things now where it's like, okay, let me do my own solo work. And that resonates, of course, with what you and Ion and Carolyn have been saying. The only thing you really can control is your mind and is your own volition, and then hopefully you will gel and come together with other responsible, people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What you make me think of? Oh, finish your sentence.
No.
You were starting to say, "I really."
No. Yeah, but I really think that once that happens, I mean, there is this guy who talks about how he gets a group together and they pray for they put their energies out there to decrease crime, and supposedly it happens with this kind of work that Ionette are doing and folks aligned and unaligned that are doing. I can't wait to see the neural network of spiritual Ionette's, you know, leveraging what they're doing in that kind of way. I mean, you know, let's apply it. So there is that particular concept out there, and to be able to protect, to be able to do whatever is needed within square miles, and I just think that's fascinating, you know.
Right. So I would say that what you learned, and humans don't realize this, but it's a simple point, is that negativity, or let's say contrast, is Ion's word. Ion says there's no negativity. Contrast seems to be the human aspect for humans to be creative with. They don't have contrast when they go to the guff, you know, when they're, quote, dead. So if anybody tries to get anything going with a bunch of people in the world of social communication, which is not word power, it's language used for some other reason, contrast will show up. And if you learn or realize there's other dimensions, other worlds that you can be part of, rather than the one that social mortar apparently is engaged in and you're trying to correct or have it align with you better, then that's a delusion. Once you realize that, you actually have a more balanced view towards the contrast that's inevitable in human relations.
Well, let me ask this, Bob. When you're talking about other worlds and to not get hooked into this particular contrast, isn't this our primary, what the contrast helped you engage parallel worlds, right? That's the differentiator. You know that you have been somewhere, but you always need to be able to come back. And where you're coming back to is this. So what in your chart speaks to the importance of this anchor contrast? Because the contrast is important for your creation. It motivated you to be able to go into parallel worlds. It motivated you to want Ion, the Evergreens, the Willows, or somebody like that to speak to that has a bigger vision than yourself. So there must be something important about this mortar.
Yes, all that you just said that I was engaged in is part of creativity, and it comes out of contrast. But and then Ion says there's two conversations to everything, which implies there's two worlds to everything. So the parallel worlds, I don't know if you call that contrast, but it's there. And maybe you could call a contrast. Definitely Ion says that people, humans, don't like being in this world when they only know of this world constantly. So they knock themselves out, you know, every 12 hours and go to what they call sleep. But they're actually going to another world to get refreshments. And it needs a relief from this world. So the human being who is little and doesn't know how to voluntarily go to parallel worlds still has the pressure of their superior self or ascended self wanting to have variety and no real loss of slack. So you're going to be forced to go to another world every 12 hours or so when you fall asleep. So,
well, Bob, hold it. So you don't sleep. So what do? You're just walking into that world that you would otherwise access through sleep.
Yeah, no, I sleep 3.5 hours every 24 hours. So I do
right.
sleep. I do leave. But the humans, Ion says that people, when they fall unconscious, and they call it sleep and they think they're dreaming, they're going to another world. So it implies that consciousness never goes unconscious. The deep consciousness that goes everywhere, it goes on continuing to interact, and you make it seem like it's sleep and that you're really not part of it other than what dreams you get from it. So,
what is insomnia then? Like when people lay down and they can't sleep, that is their monkey mind,
they're probably traveling. Because they don't allow themselves to experience what's actually going on, they're probably going to other worlds. This has never been said before. I haven't thought of this before. Yeah, insomnia is people going to other worlds but insisting to be looking in this world, and they didn't get to the other world, so they just fanatically stare at the ceiling, denying that they went somewhere. But they did because they're awake.
Oh, maybe it's like they are in the other world, but because
yes.
they're jonesing on something, they're working on it over and over and over again, which takes them out of that other world back to this world while they're sitting there solving a problem or being anxietal.
Well, to the degree
they are there.
Yeah, and the degree we can, quote, hallucinate ourselves, it comes up when Ion says, you were not born through your mother. That would be the hardest thing a human being could accept. And people have said to Ion, what do you mean? I was born, my mother said so. Oh, yeah, you believed your mother. So there's a conspiracy by your parents to claim that they created you. So that's pretty hard to understand that is not real.
Isn't that just because the spirit doesn't enter the body until the spanking, till the first cry? So what comes out is a shell. But then the non-physical actually engages only when the child takes the breath.
Right. And so you've got yourself in your perception to think that you were born, and yet you were never born. The you, your essence, that doesn't even reincarnate and never stopped, never had a beginning, the mind can't get that, the mind as we have it today. You can't get that.
Right.
So that's why Ion says, relax, allow, you'll start having anomalies, they'll start to point to that. So it sounds like we make this world real solid, but eventually as you, quote, ascend, you start having less solidity here. And that's probably what happens to schizophrenics and that. People end up in hospitals. They are slipping and loosening this world, because Ion is sort of likes the process of schizophrenia, the psychiatrists are down on. And you're loosening up, and if you don't have the correct concepts about what's happening, you get a little fucked up. Then they put you on medication. So Ion is here to clarify those basic human mental perceptual processes. That's what's so good about Ion, that he does say things a little further than people have heard.
Can we talk about, I acknowledge what you said, yes. A little tangent. Can we talk about the idea where he says that the cares of life grow strangely dim? And there is, of course, Bohemian Grove, right?
Yeah.
And a Bohemian Grove, one of the major things that they do there is called the assassination of care, or the killing of the, what is it called?
It's something at the end of sorrows or something. Isn't it a Freemasonic ritual?
It's something like this, but it has to do with care.
Yeah.
Right?
You bury your cares.
Yes, something like this. And so it's the, it was based off of some young African-American boy that was brought there and sacrificed or something like this way back when, the assassination of Care, something like that. So I think, so could you talk about what that means, Care? What does Care, the
Care is worry.
Supporting, is care, yeah, but is it worry? Is it, it comes worry, no, care comes before worry. Care is a particular aggressive state of compassion or something.
Oh, okay.
And so how does that line up? Are we assassinating care when the cares of life grow strangely dim?
Well, since we come into sensory materialism or sensory realities and are lost within that, don't have the correct corrections, we're upside down, it seems that ION, like many of the shamanistic techniques or religious monastic techniques, is to stop your identification with your existence in a small level, they used to call it your ego, and remove yourself from the obvious reality you think you're part of. So it seems you have to stop human emotion almost. Then you return, and not all religions, traditions, agree on the return. Then you return, and then you enjoy the human sensations, and you can have compassion, do whatever you want to do, without the delusion that you're afraid to not do the good stuff or the bad stuff. Because you'll think something's going to happen to you. And Ion always says you can't fail. You don't die. Nothing can happen to you. So stop operating with that protective motive of trying to achieve something based on a lack. And that's what I'm saying all the time. And I don't need to say any more words than that. That's what it is. But we have to figure out what it means and how it applies to you. So Ion denies every thought that we have. He attacks every meme, but then at the same time, he's also being supportive. So he's doing both conversations at the same time. And if you're not used to it, Ion is confusing and frustrating. But I say you have to wait around long enough to hear the different times when Ion says one thing as opposed to another. Then you start noticing the context or the figure and ground situation. And then you know, well, that's why Ion said that then. And why he didn't say it to another person later. That's the ratios that you need to become active of it. And McLuhan's pretty good at pointing out the value of that ratio perspective. Now, I just want to sidetrack. Mondo Rock says, Bob's a black star. I thought it said Bob's black star, so I thought he was complimenting you, Evan. You're my black star, but Bob's a black star, so nothing to do with you. Sorry. Forget that. Didn't work. You've only got one supporter so far, Susanna, going, yay, Evan. Okay.
Well,
but back. So did I get any words with that?
Yes. Yeah. I think that there is just that question of the dissociation or the disengagement.
Okay. So
emotional disengagement, and you would say the emotions are in the middle kingdom, right?
No, the three kingdoms, outer kingdom,
and the
inner kingdom. Yeah, inner kingdom is emotions.
It's in the inner.
Yeah, and the middle kingdom is sort of like the best place all the time, where you really are all the time, because the inner and the outer kingdoms fall away eventually as you're ascended. So I had another thought there. What was it? So you get the point that you know enough about yoga or different religious traditions tending toward the aesthetic personal development where they want you to drop your identification with the human dimension. You know about that archetype, right?
Yes.
Well, I find what's interesting about, and that usually means it's a fallen world and it's a better world to go to. And Ion doesn't say that. That's what's unique about Ion. He says, yes, you got to drop what you're feared by, ground it in fear, But don't leave. There's nothing wrong with this world. It's a great world, a great bunch of other worlds, too. So Ion is a bit different on that point. There's not so intense of a purpose of getting out of here, that life's a prison. So
Right. I think that part of it, I mean, that's interesting because you were just saying that, you know, don't be so attached to this mortar realm. There are other realms that you can go to where you will meet the 13 or 12 people or, you know, and have this. But yet now the conversation says, but all that this mortar world isn't something to escape. And that's kind of like what I was, in a sense, you know, saying, that overall, here we are now, wherever we are, but you're sitting somewhere, I'm sitting somewhere, there are rules.
But there are other Evans and other Bobs sitting otherwheres too, according to Ion.
Right, but their communication in joining in this conversation might be whispering in your ear or bringing up particular things that you want to say right now in, you know, for the
So you don't want to think they're that close because Ion says they live in separate worlds, your other selves, and are very different from you and may not be interacting.
You don't hear from them at all?
I wouldn't say that because Ion says everything's possible. Humans can create any reality, so maybe some humans can do it. But the when Carolyn had the other Carolyns described to her, they were very different and almost didn't even care for what she was doing, didn't like what she was doing. They were so different in their personality.
Sure. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you remember that, Carol? Yeah, there was one of them. And what did you meet them in a so-called dream once? Remember Ion talked about this main one that was talking to you and you were going to meet her someday or something, but she was really different from Carolyn. So anyway,
what about you, Bob? How many Bobs?
There's not much on that, is there, Carolyn?
No,
I'm so happy being here. I think I've transcended all fucking other people. I am all of them in one person. I've arrived at the mountaintop, and I ain't got nowhere to go, and I'm pretty happy with that. That's the way ISBs say it. Okay, now I remember what I was going to say. This idea of 13 people could get together, black people, and do something, Ion started... That's an archetypal desire because Ion started playing on that very early. Once we got on the radio and a few people started being regulars. And so these people found out that they were causing huge changes. Sheila Kern shut down the airplanes in Europe because she needed to stay in Paris an extra week to go to a museum. Do you remember that in April 2010? You ever hear that?
I remember hearing that.
Yeah, and Sasha out in Vancouver had some control factor over all of Canada. What she was doing was affecting all of Canada. And Sue Bone was affecting all of Air Canada. And, of course, Carolyn was doing world medicine. And I was I was the smartest person on the planet acting out that role. And so we already were doing things. Now, is there anybody else, Carolyn? Other people did things. We found out in private sessions that they were doing this. So here's Ion saying, because you took the drops, and even before, just because you're in touch with Ion, you were part of this catalyst, this alchemy that was changing the world. And your exhalation was changing everything on top of everything and eventually led to Trump. You know, that's an interesting point. And Ion says Trump is Bob in the White House, so maybe I could take credit for that one. Maybe I did Trump.
For crying out loud. Are you really going to take credit? Are you going to also be responsible for it, Bob? You take credit for a lot of things, but you don't take responsibility for them.
Well, I didn't even know I was doing it. These were told to me by Ion. I didn't know I had to be responsible. Really?
Yeah.
I did not say Ion in the private sense. Hey, Ion, between you and me, could you say that I caused Trump? I never did that. All of a sudden, Ion just says, Bob is Trump in the White House or something like that. Trump is Bob.
That's interesting. One thing that Trump has enlightened me to, and I've seen now very much in your discussions, Bob, is that it is of extreme importance to define yourself in your own words, and in Trump's, and sometimes in your speech also, you define others. And I find that very fascinating. And because they're talking about these upcoming political campaigns, and it's like we need to have as much energy, currency, focus, et cetera, to be able to define ourselves and to define others before they can do it. And so when you say, Ion told me this, Ion told me that, there's a number of times, Bob, where I hear you stating very much who you are. And redefining what Ion says about you and what you do and what you are doing and things like that in a number of stages. So I think you have a very good perspective on who you are and what you are doing, and that you can take responsibility.
In addition
to the credit,
right?
You know, for things.
I took responsibility for having created an audience with Ion, and then Ion's not available for a year or two. I keep the show going. That's responsibility. I take responsibility for that. I thought that fulfills your mandate of being responsible for something I've created.
Hold it. But that's very fulfilling. That's very self-fulfilling, too, which is fine because you are a media eater, you know, individual. So
I am Rumpelstiltskin.
That's something for yourself that we all celebrate in doing that. I know that it's being on, you know, being a talk show host for a while, that it's like this, you know, kind of thing. And it was something to walk away from, to give somebody else the mic and say, done. I only say that to also say that you certainly get something from it. And what do you get from it, Bob? Why must you communicate?
Okay, here's something I wanted to communicate for the last 15 minutes when I try to remember something. Humans, little people, act out the ascended state really unconsciously. So what is the one thing when humans really get heated and start fighting? What do other humans do? They say, cool it. Cool it. It's like one of the best values they understand. They're saying, hey, detach from what apparently seems to be going on and relax about it. You notice humans always do that. That's them remembering that they ain't here and it's not that important. They always bring up that point, you know. Hey, I was amazed that when people start fighting, everybody else jumps in to break it up. I'd never jump in. You get a wild punch and lose your teeth, so I wouldn't jump in to break up the fight. But humans are incredible. They jump in and pull people apart. They don't want other people fighting. Then occasionally they do get in a fight, and they have to be pulled off somebody. So we're so contradictory, but you can look underneath that we are acting on the eternal super wise ascendant part of yourself is in your behavior, though when you start talking social language, social mortar, you get confused in the words, and you know you're not allowed to call yourself a god for doing that. Oh God, he's this other thing that I never could be. You know, cultural concepts. So the cultural concepts confuse people about the actual power they're expressing all the time, which you'll hear Ion always saying that. You're a creative, you're super creative, you don't want to notice it. And he'll say other complimentary things to people, that they're doing that. And that might be what McClure meant when he said the cliché becomes archetypal. Our cliché actions actually show the archetypal truth, that you're you know, ascended person. But your social mortar, your cultural definitions don't aren't geared to that perspective. They want you to fit within the social grouping that does the language. So you got to fit the rules of the language. Another meaning of laws of media.
Doesn't the language only comes after the action?
Yes.
Right?
The language is concept. Action is percept. It's done without, you know, your best actions are done without you thinking. All humans know that.
Yes. Well, Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, hold it. What was I going to say?
Yeah, so you asked me, what am I trying to communicate?
Right.
I enjoy people. I have a sunny disposition. I've said that for a long time. For some reason, I'm not walking around pissed off, angry. I don't care if I get noticed, but there's lots of fun things to do, so I go to the beach, and sometimes someone starts talking to me in the water, so we become instant friends for 15 minutes while we play around the waves, and then they go. But I'm not on a case about them. I don't even care who they are, almost. The only problem is when a beautiful woman shows up and starts to play. That gets a little difficult, you know. You must stop that. I must be responsible to Carol, and I'll put the wall up, the red light, occasionally. All right? So that's the only place I'm responsible in.
You know what, that's it.